Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Pastor David here with Pastor Liz Jones and Pastor Paul from Greece. He is joining us. We're so happy to have him on the podcast. Do you want to introduce more from Pastor Paul since you work with him in your ministry?
Yeah. I'm so happy. So happy to have you here. This is Pastor Paul Dimitriadis. Mm-hmm. He and his wife, Mary, are here visiting in California, visiting with Word of Life. And so we're having a good time. It's my husband and I, it's our great privilege to serve with them in the biblical city of Thessaloniki in Greece.
I thought it was pronounced Thessalonica.
Well, that's the super biblical way to say it.
I'll defer to you on that.
Right. Yeah. Thessaloniki, and why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, hi to everyone. I'm so glad to be with you and to have me in your podcast. You know, it's the first time that I'm recording a podcast, so it's welcome. Really, I hope to enjoy it.
Hope so.
And the friends that they look at us today.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, tell us about the church that you pastor in Thessaloniki.
Okay, I'm coming from a biblical city. Probably all of you have read about the first epistle and second epistle of Thessalonians, where Apostle Paul built the church there. Mm. So maybe we write the third epistle of Thessalonians at this moment. Yeah, absolutely. And still there is a Paul here.
Yes.
Not Apostle Paul, definitely, but this is our city, and we are very thankful to the Lord for everything that He's doing. And we have a charismatic church that's about 150 people. And God is working so richly there. Mm-hmm. And we are so blessed that we have a couple like Pastor Liz with her husband, Joe, to be with us.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, we love being there. It's amazing when God connects people. And I know we could probably fill the whole podcast with the story of how we came together. But God was working in Greece and with you and working with us and speaking to us and giving us promises and led us together. So only God can do something like that. And we just love being there. We love the heart of what God's doing. The first time we met you and Mary, you were just telling us about some things that the Lord had asked you to make some stands for in your church. And I just thought, these people, they really honor the Lord and fear the Lord. And because of that, there's such a freedom of the Holy Spirit there. Really, it's an open atmosphere, which is really a sanctuary in the nation of Greece, because it's very heavy with religious oppression, it feels like to me. So anyway, like I said, I could go on for a long time about how the Lord brought us together, but we're learning a lot. I think one of the things that's interesting is for Americans, we have a very American perspective of the gospel and Christianity and the world, I would say.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm not even sure like how to ask it, but what are some things, because I know you've kind of seen a lot of people come and go and different ministries and different things and their approach to Christianity. What do you think the difference is between having like a nationalist view of Christianity or like a kingdom view? Does that make sense what I'm asking you?
We're speaking for Greece or generally?
Generally, I think, yeah.
Well, there are a lot of churches around the world and different style and different culture, but I believe we are living in seasons and in times that God is raising up the really church to function as He originally He has in His plans about the church. So the church is not anymore staying inside in the four walls. It's the church is going outside from the walls. That's where we need to stand and minister. It's Matthew 28, where say, go and make disciples, not just evangelize the people.
Yeah.
It's making disciples. And I believe that this is something that the Holy Spirit, in a unique way, He worked in Europe, in Thessalonica, yeah, as you mentioned it. Yeah. It's a new update of this translation now, Thessaloniki.
I love it.
As the new translation of the Bible. So God is working in that way there, and he's working in the same way here in Milwaukee. So it's really fantastic to see that God is preparing worldwide his church.
Yeah.
And this is a kingdom mentality. It's not a church mentality.
Mm, excellent. Yeah. Was that what you're getting at?
Yeah, I think it's just, I don't know. I guess for me, just growing up one way and seeing, you know, it's very, it's right to have a focus on your country and you see it that way. But then when you get out of that, you begin to see the kingdom that goes far beyond borders and governments and citizenship. You know, you really understand God's love for the world and His love for how unique he made each place, each people, each country, each people group has their part of expressing who God is, I think, you know? And so it's beautiful. It's beautiful to see it and to experience it, at least for me. I just feel like I'm learning so much about who God is in a whole new way.
Yeah.
What would you say were some of those stands that Pastor Paul was taking that inspired you or that you thought there's a lot of worth to that?
Oh, well, do you want to share the things? I remember you told us the Lord asked you to stand with Israel, which is very unpopular where you are.
Especially for Greek culture.
Yes, to make a stand for women in the ministry.
Yeah.
And also for the Holy Spirit and the prophetic flow. Do you want to speak about those
and
things?
And against the spirit of religion.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, these four, let's say, main streams that the Holy Spirit spoke in our lives, and that it was things to deal with the church mentality, as we say before, because the women, the position of the women, it was really influenced in Greece when Greece was captive for more than four centuries under the Turkish, and the mentality is the husband is the boss, and the women is just obey. When they was walking in the streets, the husband was walking in front and the women was falling behind. So that mentality really affected the church. And so the position of the women in the ministry, it was just do as a volunteer things inside, nothing else. So we had to break that spirit and to just release the freedom and all the gifts and the colors that God gave to the women. And that, from the moment we took that position, you know, it's like we open the doors of hell, you know.
Yeah.
Because the most of our problems, they was never coming from unbelievers, but they was coming from the believers. And really strange, they was coming from many women. And I said, oh, Lord, how that spirit is really have trapped people, and especially women, that they don't see the freedom and the what God have prepared for them. So we have to fix that. That's the first thing. The second, as you mentioned about Israel, as a country who was more friendly with a Muslim country, Arabian countries and around there, and we will support them a lot. And so we had to speak the Christian church, what the Bible say about that, not what we thought as a personality source, as a pastor. So when we start preaching about relationship with Israel, I remember more than 25 people from our church, they just went out like that, you know. They said, no, they are enemies. And I said, what about Zion? You know, and as we mentioned other things, it was difficult for them to deal because sometimes the earthly mentality for these people, it was in a higher position than the kingdom mentality. So one of my questions that I make first in myself is, I have a kingdom perspective or I have a Greek perspective in the way I growing up? And so when you think things in that perspective, you know, you have to say, oh, wait a minute, few things they are not working well, so
right.
we have to fix all these things. And that are and the religion spirit, the third one. Greece have very strong religion, and under the 400 years that we was captive to the Turkish, the religion kept all the characteristics of the Greek culture. So the Turkish, they was not allowed us to have schools. The Orthodox Church, make their own school. So we keep the language, we maintain the language and our customs. So that it was so strong, but then the religion became like a huge building, you know, right. that it was block all the other things. And that is when sometimes we speak about the other religions, but then we have to deal with the spirit of religion that we built in our churches. Mm-hmm. And we really love the blessing of yesterday.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just make make tents there to stay there. But Jesus said to his disciples when he took them in the mountain of the metamorphs.
Yes.
He said, let's stay here. And Jesus said, no, we have to go down. So these things, they speak a lot in our hearts. And we are very glad. Every time that we had to deal an issue like that, we was losing some people from the church. But I need to tell you that a spirit of freedom came to the church.
Yeah.
And it's a spirit of revelation, not in the level of leadership, but approach everyone in the church. Mm-hmm. So after that, it came the fourth point that you said about the prophetic flow, prophecy, it was just in a way that it was happening in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And we know that we live in the New Testament, but sometimes as we preach, as we do, you know, church, we are more Old Testament style. So we had to, that's a little bit religion again.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's really interesting. Have you seen the progress from your time being there? Have you seen the payout for those decisions in that spirit of freedom that he's talking about?
I mean, I think for me, it was evident the first time I went there, which actually I didn't even go to a service the first time it came. We just had a little short time together. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I felt Holy Spirit. And there's certain places you go, it feels like home because he's there. And that's how it felt the very first time, which is, you don't feel that everywhere, you know? And so when he was talking about these things and the loss, you know, they lost people, but it was like, it was a purifying really that was happening, because what I saw was there was a purifying that happened so that when they went forward and they multiplied, they're multiplying the right thing, you know, and that's what I see. So now I see, it's multiplication time.
Yeah.
And I just, the people that are there, they're so hungry. They're so thirsty for living water and for the truth. And they're ready and they're willing to try new things. And that's I've only been there a short time, you know, but part of what I do is I go in and I stretch people beyond what they're used to, you know, and, and they're like, a little bit scared, but they're so willing. They're so willing to try things, you know? Yeah. And like Pastor Paul said, it's a little bit of a shock, but it's okay. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful shock.
Yeah. Don't we all want that though? We want the spirit of adventure. We want to see what God has for us. We don't want to just be bound down to the past, like you said. I was curious how you mentioned the spirit of religion and the Orthodox Church. And I was going to ask, what do you think they're missing? Because obviously they have a strong tradition and they've held together, but where are you seeing, you know, people that are in the Orthodox Church, what are they missing in their walk of faith?
Before I will answer to that, I need to tell you that sometimes we think that Greece is a Christian country, and we have that name, you know, that Greece is a Christian country, but Greece is not believed to Jesus. There is, we call it Mariolatry. That is, they worship the mother of Jesus. So immediately when you speak and you mention the name of Jesus, immediately they say, oh, you are not Christian. You are not Orthodox. What we are. And immediately they answer back, you are American. So that's in their mentality, you know.
They venerate the mother of God.
Yeah, okay. So that's the foundation. And also, you need to know that the born-again Christians over Greece is, in our population, is 0.002%.
It's pretty low.
So,
yeah.
I believe in Africa and in countries that, you know, we go send missionaries, they have more and more. They have 20% Christianity there. Yeah. I mean, born again and baptized with the Holy Spirit. So, I believe Greece have a great potential. Mm-hmm. That is how I see that point, you know.
Gotcha.
It's a great potential for a huge harvest. Mm-hmm. So the spirit of religion for the Greeks is to maintain exactly what they did for years and years and years. When I was praying for the Orthodox Pacific, for the Orthodox Church, I was fighting in my prayers like the Orthodox Church was the enemy. Mm. But then God changed my perspective. Now I don't pray against them. I pray that God will save them, give them visions, reveal His face and His glory over them with dreams. Yeah. And from the moment immediately that we change our perspective and we bless them and we pray for revelations, we see now some small, let's say, like the cloud that the servant of the prophet saw from far away, some small clouds. People, they get revelations. So small voices in the Orthodox movement, they start to come up. I can mention special one time. I saw an Orthodox priest in the way, and they introduced us, and they said he is a professor in the theological school of the Orthodoxy. And I just spoke with him 3 minutes. He had the prophet. He was a prophet. Mm-hmm. He had the gift of the prophecy. And he was prophesied for my life, and everything was accurate. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I give you the chance to see that I'm working behind, you know, the walls.
That's absolutely good.
And that's where I believe the future will be so bright, so glorious.
Beautiful. That's so good.
For the coming years.
Yeah. I think that's so important that sometimes Christians can tend to set up like it's us against them.
Yeah.
You know, whether that's Orthodox or other denominations, you know, in America, we set these things up, but it's understanding that there's something in them. They honor God. You know, I saw the same thing when we were in Israel. We met with this rabbi who doesn't believe in Jesus, but he loves God. Mm. And I saw in him, he honored God and he feared God. And I thought there's like, we have more in common than that we can build on, you know? Yep. And it changed my perspective. And I feel the same way about the Orthodox churches. Like they really preserved truth for a long time, and they fear the Lord. They're very devout, you know? And so there's, I think honor is the key. Honor is the way in, you know, honoring people for their faith and their belief and what we have in common, we can build on from there. Yeah. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah. You know, if we see how Apostle Paul, when he came to Athens, approached the Athenians, you know, it was such a great respect. He say, I see that you honor God and you have a fear for God. You know, we know that totally he was need totally to destroy everything there and just, you know, just born again and built from the beginning, you know, the message of grace. But he approached them with such a respect. Mm. And that kind of approach, it's opened the ways and the doors.
Mm. Absolutely.
That's good.
Yeah, quoting their own poets to build a bridge and, you know, highlighting what he observed. Yeah, that's great. I was going to ask, you mentioned the need for discipleship and the need for multiplication. And how is that looking for you guys in this next season? How does that look practically? How is your fellowship pursuing making disciples?
Well, we need the discipleship. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, go and make disciples. And for to make disciples, first of all, you need to be a good disciple by yourself. Mm-hmm. So you know what you are reproducing. Yeah. that is not so common in our churches, in the church, let's say, mentality. And that's something that we have to build. So we have to start sometimes from the scratch, is the people to be more faithful, to put Jesus in the first position, and then everything, you know, all the other things to come to the second position. My heart is really burning and about this young generation. The young generation, the mentality of the family. If you have seen the Greek movies about the Greek families, it's like they need to get a job, they need to get to first to go to be educated and then to have a good job, you know. So let's say 1, 2, 3 mm-hmm. for the Greeks is first the young people to go to the universities. Second, to have a good job. After these two, third, to think about creating a family. Mm-hmm. And after that, you know, you can think whatever you want mm-hmm. about the rest of the needs. So that somehow is coming also to the churches. So the young people, exactly after they finish the normal school, they want to go to the university. When you speak about to them, give a year to the Lord or take a break or, you know, give your life and give from your time, you immediately you come to the point, yes, but I need to go for my studies. Yeah. So we have to change a little bit the 1, 2, 3
priorities
that is in their minds and to just put themselves to the Lord.
Yeah.
And I believe that God wants us to be educated. God wants us to have a generation that they will be in high positions, in an excellent spirit, to have professors and politicians and lawyers and doctors in every place, because this is the way we can conquer our community.
Yeah.
But the priority, that we have to work a lot still in our mentality.
Mm-hmm. That's critical, absolutely. Have you seen any movement in the fellowship towards, I think you mentioned church outside the walls, outside the Sunday service? What's been going on with that? Have there been any motions on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think a great thing that the church is doing is home groups. It's a great place for people to come. We've seen this. We've seen people come and they just have questions. And what about this? And what about that? And this is happening. You know, this person's sick in my life. This problem is happening. What does God think about this? And they can just come and Pastor Paul and his sister Maria, they're so patient and go, yes, but God, you know, and sharing testimony, like testimony is so powerful, you know. So I think I love the home groups. I think that that's a really great way for people to come in to the church. And then also I know Peter, Paul's son, has a great heart for evangelism, actually. And so they're preparing for some outreaches. And I just hear Pastor Paul, you know, and almost every message is about, you know, reaching your family, reaching your coworkers, reaching outside, reaching where you are. You're there on mission. You're there on assignment. It's not just about what we do here. It's good to come here, but we exist here to be out there. You know, so I just, there's a great emphasis on that, which I see God doing in his church, like you were saying, worldwide. He's like trying to get us to understand what he made the church for in the beginning, to be, to bring kingdom into the world, you know. But I, it's exciting. It's exciting to see what God is doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you are using a lot here in the United States, the word church planting. Let's say do the same thing under different word that we call it apostolic ministry.
Right.
So it's God give us the vision and we create small churches in small cities because in Greece the mentality is 2-3 big cities. Everyone is stuck there and the rest of Greece is almost empty.
Oh, really? Okay.
Only the old people living there. God put in our heart to raise altars of worship in a different positions. And if they are Christians there, we help them to growing up in the Lord and just to create a church there. Mm-hmm. And also in Thessaloniki, what God really raised our heart is in different places of the city, like east, west, north, and south. Thessaloniki have about 1.5 million population. So just to find a house, someone from our church that he have a heart for to see new people to come to the Lord. And so we go in there and he invite friends from around area. And so we speak about Jesus. And he's going very well.
Yeah.
He's going very well.
Excellent.
And we raise up leaders in that way that they can take responsibilities. But we see people coming and without the fear to be in a strange church, because every church in Greece that is not Orthodox is a strange church.
Yeah.
You know, it's heretic. It's, you know, a cult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's easier for them to go in a house and then as they meet us, to come to the church. And very briefly, one of the last meetings that we have, and Pastor Liz and Joe was with us, it came a lady. This lady was one of the, let's say, higher society ladies in the city, very smart, very wise woman. But as always, she was at the corner and the devil, it was attacked her life. So she was asked for help. As we pray and as we minister on to her, you know, she just received immediately because she was in a need.
Yeah.
So we did one service, and then Wednesday in our Bible study, I see her coming in the church.
Great.
She was not asked, what is that? This is a strange church. You are not Orthodox. She was not care about that. She said, there are living waters here, and I just want to drink and to erase my thirsty.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Amazing.
It's beautiful.
Sounds very biblical. It almost sounds like exactly what we're supposed to be doing, according to the Bible.
I believe that in every different spot of the earth, God respect the culture. And I will say that I really admire the culture in the United States. I told in the fellowship yesterday that my dream when I was 18 years old, it was to be in the United States. You know, I like that you receive almost everything. And this is how we see you from outside, that everyone can have a value here. In Greece and in Europe, it's not too easy for the people to see you like that. But then God drew my heart for, drew my attention about the needs in Greece. And God is respecting the culture. So I believe that under his wisdom, things that they have maybe have amazing results here, is not just to copy them.
Right.
The mentality is, let's what we did here, let's do it in Africa. It's okay, it's a good start. But as we receive information from the Holy Spirit, we can keep maybe the main things, but God give us wisdom to do the same thing in the way that it can touch the people of the land.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Flexibility of the gospel ministry. I think about in 1 Corinthians 9, you know, Paul said, I've become all things to all people that I might win them. It's not just I became what I always thought I was so that they would change, you know. No, I think that's great. Did you have something that was on your mind you're going to say?
I mean, I was just going to say, I think that it's God created so many different types of people and nations and different family groups. And I love, to me, one of the saddest things is when a nation or people feels like in order to be Christian, they have to become American, you know? And I just think it's so wrong. And so I love, like, when they sing like Greek worship songs, I love it because that's the sound of Greece, you know? And like, we were talking yesterday because we were leading worship in Greek, and then we had the American singing, and it was like, this is the sound of heaven. Like, there's going to be every tribe, every nation, every tongue, you know, right. And there needs to be, and they're all different, and that's the beauty of it. They don't all have to become the same, you know. Everyone has their own sound or their own expression, and I think it's really important. I believe that actually the Greek church is going to reclaim some things that are their heritage and bring that into their worship expression and their, you know.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So I, I love it. I love it. And I love seeing, you see a bigger part of God, you know, a different part in it, the bigness of him. And I think it's beautiful.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Pastor Paul, what are some of your passions when it comes to ministry? Things that you're most excited about?
Well, that's remind me, a friend of mine in Germany, he asked me, what's your favorite messages? what do you love to preach? Because sometimes the pastor, we preach for almost everything. But the favor that I love is the presence of God. From the day one that I became a senior pastor, I just expressed boldly what Jesus pray, as it is on heaven, we want to be in our earth. This is what is burning in my heart, the presence of the Lord. And as the people, they come to his presence, there is everything. It's healing, it's peace, restoration, love, you know, righteousness. So it goes bother me when for long lot of years we will speak about Jesus in a way that Jesus was never with us.
Yeah.
It's like I have Liz here, And I speak to all of you about Liz, but I never look to Liz. Well, and Liz say, hey, yeah, here I am. Here I am. We speak about her, but it's like we never look at her, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's bothering
like
me a lot.
Bob.
Yeah. It's what I have in my heart is not about, not just to speak about Jesus, yeah, mm-hmm, but lead the people to the same wells that I have drink water. Mm. So help them to drink from the water I have already drink.
Nice.
So just to meet Jesus, this is the presence of God.
Love it, yeah. Well, Liz, we know some of your passions for ministry, but yeah, do you want to say anything about that? Like when, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just, one of the things I see, you know, with our church in Greece is that they have a school of worship, mm-hmm, the School of David, and the
good name. Good.
Yeah, it's a good name, mm-hmm, David. But that's at the center of everything they do. There's worship. There's, yeah, worship at Bible study. There's it's worship. And I see, when he was saying, you know, that they understand, about altars in the land, like they'll go and they will go into different places and worship because, yeah, it's tearing down false altars and building an altar to the Lord. And so it's, they're walking out the apostolic in a very unique in a very scriptural way, I, yeah, see, you know, with it's not just going to plant a church here. It's actually dealing with the principalities and the strongholds that are in those lands and in those places. And so I see just worship is the heartbeat of apostolic church. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Excellent. Yeah, yeah. Winning the spiritual war before we do anything physical would be.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, and they have a prayer and worship every Monday, mm-hmm, and sometimes for 2 hours, sometimes for 4 hours, sometimes more. But every week people are come. They understand what they're doing there. They're understanding that it's not just just to be together, but it is. But they pray and they declare and they know that what they're doing matters and it makes a difference, and they're full of faith,
yeah,
you know, week after week after week, and it's amazing, you know. That's, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I would just ask you guys, maybe each of you personally, what is a challenge that you're currently facing, and how is the Lord showing you the way through that? I don't know if you want to go first, Liz or Pastor Paul.
Ladies first.
Oh, thank, yeah, you. So you can think of your answer. Yes.
Whatever challenge you want, you know? Maybe, I don't know.
I mean, for me, because it's a new place, there's different challenges that my husband and I have. And when you're stepping out in faith, there's a lot of opposition that comes against your mind, mm-hmm, you know? And so that's something that we wore through. And just, we want to always be honoring when we are in a new place and with people, and we're building, we're connected, but we're learning each other, you know, and we're learning how to, I don't know, walk out life and navigate and press into new areas and new things. And so, mm-hmm, it's just, I feel like everything is a challenge, but in a great way. Like it's just, everything's a step of faith because it's all unfamiliar. It's all, mm-hmm, new. We're in a new country with a new language, in a new house, with a new church, with new friends, you know, so everything's new. And so everything's by faith. And so it's, a challenge, but it's the best challenge I've had,
awesome,
in my life, yeah, you know? So it's, yeah, it's wonderful.
Excellent. Yeah. Yeah.
How many years, David, are you married?
Almost seven.
Seven. Okay. I'm 39.
Yeah. More
years
than me.
Married. Okay. You?
24.
Okay. Yeah. So, okay. It's like the Daltons, you know, 7, 24.
Yeah, it is.
So every day living with my wife is a challenge.
Can't say amen.
Okay. Not front to the ladies, but from what perspective? It's a challenge for her to live with me.
Yeah.
That's the right
thing.
That's
how you got to flip it. Yeah.
And I still recognize that I learn, and I still sometimes find my reaction in a way that I said, Paul, why you did that? Mm. I mean, I think that I know well, Paul, I'm 59 years old, but sometimes it's coming out something of us that we never had idea that we had it. Mm. inside of us. So the same way, this is the challenge of the ministry. We fight with our fears. We fight with ourselves. We fight with the seeds of the religion that sometimes we keep, because I personally, myself, looking back, I have years of blessing. I don't have years of, opposition and things like that. Right. But it's very easy to stay to the yesterday blessing. Mm. So, and when we are connected with new people, that's a challenge. For me personally, as a pastor, it's a challenge, because the model of the Greek church, it was like the pastor, it was the orchestra, and it was the director too.
Yeah.
So everything, it was made by the pastor. I mean, and I mean daily things and spiritual things, cleaning the church, open the church, close the church, maintain the facility, do the spiritual things there. And when God is adding more people, it's a challenge, because sometimes I see the way they're doing the things. I said, oh, it's a disaster, And then you have to trust. This is a challenge. And as at the moment, God is really growing up our leadership team. Mm. I really enjoy it. And I try to be a good student to the Lord, to trust to others, to do things. Yeah. And these are good challenges.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
It's we growing up, and the church in Greece is growing up. We are very thankful.
Yeah, I imagine there's a challenge to doing it all yourself, just as much as a challenge to trusting others. So it's kind of like you have to choose which challenge you want. But why is trust hard? Why is trusting people hard? Is it? It's easy, right?
Because always we know better.
Yeah.
That's the reason.
I think that's wise what you said for people listening, that it's a worthwhile challenge to learn how to trust people and learn how to give away some authority. And
I believe this is the reason the family is really important. The enemy is destroying the family. Mm-hmm. And through that is destroying all the foundations that God have for us. Because we have destroyed families, we cannot understand how family in the church is working.
Yeah.
One of the things in the family that's really important is you don't want to give your best to others, but to your children you want to give your best. Mm. And when you learn that you took a step back because you want your teenager son to take a position, you learn that only in the family, because is the only place you can take a step back for your children. Mm. You never want to do that in your job, in the ministry, or whatever. So I believe the restoration of the family, it's in the heart of Jesus, and that will help the church to really understand the family and how God is working.
It's powerful. We're the household of God, so those things should translate. Yeah, anything else that's on your heart currently? Any questions you have for your pastor right here?
Oh. What questions? Let me
put him on the spot. This is your opportunity. He has to answer because he's on air.
I know. Do you have any questions?
For you?
Yeah. Or you?
Yeah.
I
don't know.
I don't have a question. The only question I had, I already said to Liz, when I came here and I said, I see how beautiful is the facilities, the people. Because the people, they are better than the facilities, and everything is so beautiful. I said to Liz, this is my question. How you leave everything here and you decide to come to Thessaloniki? That was my only question. But I'm very thankful to God that He's moving hearts and He calling us to build His kingdom.
Yeah, it's our joy. It's our joy to be with you. I think about this because people have asked me that, is there something wrong? Is there something you don't like at your home church? And, no, everything's good. I just think about, Peter, when he was in the boat, it was a good boat. There's nothing wrong with the boat. But when Jesus called him, it was better to be with Jesus.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
What would you say to somebody listening that is, they're asking God if they should take a step of faith, or how would they go about doing that? So if they're like, I think I want to be involved in this kingdom mentality. I think I want to expand the gospel. Maybe He's calling me to another nation. Maybe He's calling me near at hand. How would you encourage somebody to proceed?
I would say the best thing you can ever do is release your life completely to the Lord, where He can really do what anything, just whatever he want to do in my life, you can do it. And then whatever process I need to go through to make me ready, I'm willing to go through it, because you will not, you will never step into a place without God preparing you for it first. Mm-hmm. And so people sometimes want to just jump from here to here, but there's a whole bunch of breaking and reshaping in the in between. And so if you are willing to actually let him do what he wants to do, you will find what you're made for, and yeah. you will find the thing that will satisfy your soul. That's what I would say.
Yeah. So maybe a similar question to you, Pastor Paul, as you stepped into your calling as a lead pastor, what did that look like in your life? What did it take for you to shift into that?
Well, there are a lot of sacrifice behind that, you know, but it's learning, as Apostle Paul say, to live high and to live low. Mm-hmm. All of us, we love to live high, but we don't want to decrease. Yeah. So when you're with Jesus in every step, you know, it's not where you are, it's with who you are.
Yes.
And that's make the difference.
Powerful. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Maintaining our communion with the Lord, that'll give us the water to keep going and the energy to keep going.
Yeah. If he's your home, it doesn't matter where you are. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm learning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's that song that says, you know, I'm sorry when I just went through the motions, when I forgot that you're enough, you know, and I think it's so easy to forget that he's enough, you know, when there's maybe not the support or the familiarity that you've had in past endeavors or things of that nature. When we have communion with God, he's enough, you know, in the Trinity of that fellowship. It's a strange thing, but there's nothing like that in the world where we can go into that refuge and we can be refueled by him. Yeah, I imagine that's a key element being on the mission field, you know, so.
Yeah. I want to remind you, according to that, you know, first of all of you, you are welcome to Greece.
Yeah. Yes.
Now you have connection points.
That's right. Come on over.
So, yeah. But if you come and visit us, and we will take you to Philippi, where Apostle Paul went to the prison. What always I admire there is that when the doors of the prison just open, no one it was going out from the prison.
Yeah.
And it's really, I mean, sometimes we said, Lord, we are in a prison, deliver us. I think it's such more important to say, we invite you and we are thankful that we know that you are with us in the prison. Because if you have God in the area that you name it as a prison, you don't want to go out. God is with you. I mean, and not only for Apostle Paul, the funny thing it was that the other prisoners, no one escaped.
Yeah.
I mean, you can read it in the book of Acts. No one, Apostle Paul say to the guard man, you know, relax, everyone is here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's amazing that their mind, it was not to escape. Their mind, it was focused on the...
Yes.
In what Jesus was there.
Yeah. So good.
One of my favorite verses is, you know, Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So that's like what you're saying. It also made me think of that quote that said, you know, hell is a state of mind. But, you know, the opposite is true, that, you know, heaven is a state of mind.
Yeah.
If you actually had the Lord with you in those situations, you could endure that. Hey, I also had one last question for you, Liz.
Okay.
You know, from your time so far in Greece, what are some things that the American church can learn from the Greek church?
Yeah.
You have to answer. You're on the podcast.
Okay. What I see is that the American church is so able to sustain itself that I think sometimes it forgets God.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see from my short time in Greece is that people need a different level of faith every day just to live. And I think Americans could really take a lesson from that, because we have everything we need. We have everything and more that we could ever want. And I think that in the process of that, we don't need God the way we should, the way we should depend on him and need him. And and completely be dependent on him. Mm-hmm. I think we're very independent. Mm-hmm. American, I mean, we have a Declaration of Independence, you know? Yeah. Like, we're very independent-minded.
That's just from the British, though.
Yeah. I don't want to be, you know. But it's a very American mentality, yeah. And I think that we would do a lot better to be more dependent on the Lord, to yeah. make ourselves dependent on him.
How do we do that?
By willingly stripping ourselves of things that we use for our own comfort. I've come to realize how addicted to comfort America is. Mm. We put comfort, I think, above almost anything else. And so we have a lot of ways to be comfortable. And it's hard to take yourself out of that when it's so available.
Yeah.
So I think that there's really, I don't know, there's just some looks at things I think that we as Americans need to actually take a hard look at some things mm-hmm. and willingly set some things aside. Yeah. And place ourselves in a place of dependency on the Lord.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely worth exploring more, thinking about. It definitely hits home for me.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do another podcast on that. Strip yourself. That would be a good title for the podcast. But I was going to ask Pastor Paul if you have any sort of word or insight for the American church, anything that maybe the Lord's given you on this trip or beforehand.
Usually every place that I visit, I ask the Lord, what you see, and you want me to see it. Mm-hmm. I believe that United States have been a country that have blessed a lot the other countries. Mm-hmm. What we have in Europe and in Africa and Israel is because the faithfulness of the majority of the Christians, born-again Christians, that they bless. I see it as a country that learn how to bless. Mm. Bless others, bless churches. I admire that. And sometimes that's something that we wanted. Mm. Sometimes from the other side, like Greece, we are creating a mentality we want to receive. Mm. You have to give and we have to take. Mm-hmm. And we want to break that yeah. too. But, you know, as Lee said, sometimes when you are living a long time in the blessing area, and from other perspective, we are living a long time in things that we don't have them. Sometimes we are trapped in that mentality. I believe the years and the times that we have ahead of us, they will challenge us. Mm-hmm. And as COVID challenged the church, I believe there will come things that they will challenge all of us in the areas that we have been stuck. And just we need to put first God's glory and kingdom always. Yeah. And everyone will have to face the challenges that he has stuck on them.
Yeah.
You know, so I trust God, and I believe that sometimes, as you say, for the churches in the United States that they are stuck in a few areas, if we are connected with the Lord, we will unstuck very easy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely. I said to the Greeks when they had really no money during the economic crisis, I said, hey, look, other nations, they don't have houses. Mm.
Yeah,
you don't have money, but you go in and you sleep to your bed. There is always something yeah. that's more worse than what you are
right, right.
and where you are. Yeah. But, you know, the issues that the church will deal, they will shake the church. Mm. This is what I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that it will be a good awakened.
Yeah. 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 To reveal what cannot be shaken.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Do you have another thought in your mind?
Nope.
No. Okay.
More thoughts.
Would you like to pray us out, Pastor Liz?
Yeah.
Pray for the audience and that the Lord will seal the words.
Yes, of course.
All right. Yeah, thank you. All
right. Father, we thank you so much for who you are, and we thank you that you are continually revealing yourself to us. We open up for you to continue to show us who you are, and that we would not be stuck in our own ideas of religion and tradition, but that we would really, the spirit of freedom would bring us into a true place of liberty, mm. God. And so we thank you for this. We ask you just to continue to break down what needs to be broken down and to build up what needs to be built up in us, Lord. We thank you for your patience with us. We thank you for your kindness to us. We thank you for your grace toward us that allows us to walk out everything you have called us to. We bless the church in Greece. We thank you for the freedom of the Holy Spirit that is breaking out there and that will continue to draw hearts to you. We thank you for the many souls that you have purposed for your kingdom, that they are coming very soon. And we call them to the boats. We call them to be ready to be harvested. And we thank you that you are sending more workers to help to bring the harvest in. And we thank you for the church in America, Lord. We thank you that you are keeping her and you are preserving her, and that you are bringing the church here to a place of reordering, to set the church up the way you want her to be, and that you are not done here. You're not done with the church in America, Father. And so we thank you, Lord, that your promise is that you will build your church wherever it is, whatever nation, whatever city, whatever town, you are building your church. And we pray for those who are listening that they would be inspired and that they will hear the voice of the Holy Spirit for their part in the building process, that they will hear and they will respond and they will understand what it is that you have purposed them for right now in this time on the earth, that you'll give them greater faith, greater vision, and greater boldness to step into it, Father. We pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus, the name that is above every name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you, Pastor Paul, for joining us. You too, Pastor Liz.
I know. It's good to be
all
back.
Away from Greece. And we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.